I really feel like God is going to do some new things today. He's going to show us some new things. And we're talking this month about God's world, God's mission. And so we're talking about missions. But today, I hope everybody got a little chocolate heart, maybe chocolate peanut butter. It might, some of them are chocolate peanut butter, some of them are regular chocolate. So just feel free to eat it. You know, that's what it's for. But I want to talk about love today because we all know tomorrow is what? Valentine's Day. Yes, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Okay, yes, February 14th. And it's cool how the Lord just kind of combined the two together because God's mission starts with love. It started with love all the way back in the beginning. And it continues with love. The whole thing starts with God's love. And a real understanding of God's love changes everything in our perspective. And so we're going to read 1 John 4:19. And so we're going to start there. So if you want to stand, we'll read that. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." All right, you can be seated. Now, that is powerful. When we really get a revelation of the fact that everything that we do, we don't just decide relationship with God. It started with him. It started with him loving us the same as when we have children, it starts with us loving them. We love them before they love us. And, you know, when we, Rick and I started wanting to have a child, you know, when you want to have a child, you know that they're difficult. You know that you have to change diapers and that you sometimes have to get up in the middle of the night. You know all of that. But you willing, yet you still desire that. And we need to understand that in coming in our relationship with God. God knew that sometimes we were going to be difficult. He knew that sometimes we would have a bad attitude and we would be ungrateful and we would not respond in the ways that we should. And yet, he invited us and he chose to have children, to have a relationship with us, as with him as our father. And when you understand that, it will change your whole perspective because so many people live Christianity, them reaching toward God without an understanding that God reached toward us first. He always has. He always does. He is first. He is love, the Bible says. He doesn't just choose to love. It's not something that he works at. It is who he is. The Bible says God is love in 1 John 4:8. And so when we understand that that's who he is and that that is what this whole thing starts with, if your Christian life is based on you striving every day to try to do enough things so that you can be a good Christian, you are doing it wrong. Now, the Christian life does at times require us to sacrifice. It requires us to lay down self. It requires us to deny ourselves. Y'all that know me know. I believe in that. But it starts with understanding that he loves us. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It started like the verse that we just read. We love him because he first loved us. And if we are trying to strive to love him, but we don't understand that he first loved us, then what we do is us reaching towards God and us trying to earn his love. We don't have to do that. And it becomes us striving to receive something that God already gave. And so understanding his love is a big deal. Now, the second thing that I want you to understand. So there are two main things that I want you to come away with from today. Number one is that love started with him. It starts with him loving us. It doesn't start with me loving him. It starts with him loving me. Because God is personal. He doesn't just love us at Hidden Treasures or us in Kingsland or us in the earth. He loves me. Personally, just the same as all seven of my children, I love them all. They are all individuals. And it amazes me still to think like they're so different, all raised in the same home, and yet they're so different. God loves us all individually. And so it starts with love. Okay, the second thing that I want you to understand, we have to come as a child. Matthew 18, 1 through 5. It was cool. The Lord led me to a sermon this past week, yesterday, Saturday, Friday, one of these days this past week. I was actually looking up, like I do sometimes, I'll listen to a sermon to kind of do some research to hear there's nothing wrong. Like, listen, I have learned this. A lot of what, if I say anything that is powerful, it came from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from me anyway. And so I don't have a problem learning from other preachers, because if they say something powerful, it didn't come from them either. It came from the Holy Spirit. So this whole, that's my word and I came up with that. No, you didn't. If it's good and it's anointed, it came from him anyway. So I don't have a problem. I'm saying that to say I don't have a problem like listening to other preachers and saying, hey, I learned this from this person. But we all know if it's good, it came from the Holy Spirit, you know, if it's anointed. And so I was listening. I was looking up a sermon on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what came up was think like a child. And I was like, well, that isn't really what I was looking for, but I could use that this week. Because sometimes as adults, we get so full of our life and our problems and our struggles that we forget the verses that we're about to read. And so we need to be reminded. So Matthew 18, 1 through 5, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Okay, understand this. This question is what prompted this response. So it's not just the understanding that we are called to become like little children is an answer to the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So if we understand what Jesus is about to say is very important, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And this is what Jesus' response was. Then Jesus called a little child. So not just a child, not just a big child, but a little child. He called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children. He's saying this to men. Just want to remind you. To men, grown men, and he's saying, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So we have to come as children. So now, this is, I love this picture. Yeah, I can't. So that is when we went to Lydia. For those of you that don't know, child number two is Lydia. She's 20. She lives in Kennesaw. And so we went to Kennesaw for her birthday to visit her. And she wanted a sister for a long time, for a really long time. And we kept having boys. And in fact, when I got pregnant with Eden, she told me, if this is not a girl, I'm moving in with Nana. And so thankfully we had a little girl, and we did the little baby reveal, and we did silly string. And I just took the tops off so they couldn't tell what color it was. And when we sprayed, you can see in the video, like she literally jumped up and down. Like she was so excited that we were having a girl. And so their love for each other is pretty mutual, as you can see in the picture. Now, Eden loves all of my children. She loves Ezra. In fact, she goes and wakes Ezra up in the morning sometimes. He wakes up on a Saturday morning because she just goes and lays in his bed with him and he has to wake up, you know. So she loves Silas. She loves Josiah. She loves Jude and Sela. She loves everybody. But this picture captures so much love. And if you could picture God looking at you this way and understanding that God says that we are to come as a little child, sometimes our adult minds, I say this from personal experience, get so full of everything else, of inadequacy, of stress, of weakness, of cynicism, of issues, of drama, of all of the things that I can see about myself. Okay. We're going to look at some things with this that starts with him and with the fact that we have to be converted and come as a little child. We're going to look at love, understanding those two things. Because when we understand love from the right perspective, see, a lot of us, even when you hear the word love, especially the love of a father or love of a parent, all of us didn't, like, none of us, the reality is, I had this conversation with my daughter the other day. I said, I know I'm not a perfect parent. So if you tell me things that I did wrong, I know that you're probably going to have other things to tell me that I did wrong. I mean, none of us know completely what we're doing. Like, so it, we're all learning as we go. It is a work in progress. And so, you know, I get that. And so we were laughing about it, you know. But God is a perfect parent. Our problem is that often we compare him to ourselves or to our imperfect parents, and then we project this idea of love based on what we have experienced or what we think love is or what we feel. Because listen, love is not a feeling all the time. Now, we can feel love just like the picture of Lydia and Eden. We do feel that love sometimes. But sometimes I don't feel like God loves me, especially when I am covered in shame because of something that I didn't do or something, some way that I messed up. I, in those moments, do not feel like God loves me. And that's why I have to remember this. And I have to remember that God loved me first and that he loved me so much that he sent his son to die. Those of you that don't know, and I'm not going to go into the story, but my parents lost a child at 3.5. And my dad used to say, I would have never, never sacrificed my son on purpose. Like, I would have never chosen to give him up. So that level of love that God has for us, it is mind-blowing. And I'm going to tell you, the only way that you are really, truly going to understand the love that God has for you is with a revelation from him. If you have never asked God for a revelation of his love for you, you need to ask him. That is humbling yourself and coming as a little child. And rather than thinking, I can read all the scriptures and I can figure this out in my logical mind and I can understand everything and I can reach toward God myself, it is saying to God, God, I will read the word because your word is what teaches me. I will seek you. But God, in order to really get a revelation of the love, I need you to teach it to me. Listen, Jude is 5. He is not afraid to ask questions. He has no problem saying, Mommy, what about this? And what about that? As adults, we need to make sure that we are willing to come to God and say, God, would you teach me? Would you teach me about yourself? Would you show me what this scripture means? Would you give me a revelation of what your love really looks like? Because God, I feel like my picture is distorted and I need you to teach me and show me. And he will, if we will give him the opportunity to do it. He will teach us. Okay, so we're going to look at some things that we see from scripture about love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I understand, I've shared that I have dealt with fear in ways that I never understood it was fear. But fear involves torment. But this word says perfect love cast. That word cast, it means like you cast a fishing net. It means to throw. So perfect love throws out fear. So the more that you get a revelation of God's love for you, the more that it will begin to throw the fear out of your life. But the areas that we don't understand God's love, that's why we struggle so much with fear. And so understanding that, as we get a revelation of his love for us, then that love begins to throw fear out. Okay, we are called to love each other. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So here it says, this was new. This was a new way. Jesus said a new commandment, a new way of thinking. As I have loved you, you are also to love one another. The only way that we can love people as Jesus has loved us is if we have a revelation of how he has loved us. And if you will ask him and if you will get in his presence and say, God, I need to understand your love for me. That might not seem like an adult thing to do, but it's a child thing to do. And it's a humbling thing to do. And it is an adult thing to do, to say, God, if I'm going to love others the way that you love me, then I need a revelation of really how you love me. This is not something that we can get on our own. It's something that we need from God Almighty to say, God, would you teach me about love? Because we know our world is full of definitions about love. I mean, I love ice cream and I love coffee and I love this person and I love that TV show. You know, really an understanding of what real love is comes from God Almighty. And so as we ask him and as we read his word, and even as you read the word and you say, because I many times read scriptures and it's like, I feel like it's like stopping right here. Like it's not getting any deeper than just the words that I can repeat back. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:13 that the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. This Christian life is not me striving and me reaching toward God so that he will love me. It is me walking with a Father that already loves me and saying to him, God, would you teach me? Holy Spirit, would you teach me? Will you put up that picture again? And understanding, walking through life, looking at God like he's looking at me, understanding how much he loves me. You can see there is no fear in Eden's face. She's not worried that Lydia's about to like launch into a lecture. She's not worried about, you know, how she looks, like, oh, my hair is a little messed up because I've been in the car all day. Like, she's not worried about that. She's just looking at Lydia with love, and Lydia's looking back. And listen, so often we go into our time with God and we struggle so much because of our view of how he views us. I want to show you something. Rick, will you help me for a minute? So the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forget. Will you just put that over me? So imagine, okay,
the Bible. This is not a baby.
This is not a baby reveal, just in case anyone thinks.
I want to make sure you guys aren't like.
Okay. Can we just take a comedy moment? Do you know any, like, I mean, this, why else would he have to say that? You know, I'm like, what in the world? But I mean, you know, this is where we are. This is where we are. Yeah. So, okay. So imagine, yeah, just put it like all the way over my head.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to pretend, because this is an illustration. So imagine that when you come into the presence of God, the Bible says in 1 John, if you put up Job, 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Bible says that Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin. So if when I go into the presence of God, if I have sinned, if I feel like I have missed the mark, I haven't done things exactly like I should have done, I didn't get everything done that I needed, I didn't read my Bible as much as I should, which, listen, that happens. Then we need to picture ourselves covered in the blood of Jesus and with the love of God, and then come into the presence of God. Listen, it's not that I come thinking that I am worthy in my own strength. It's that I come into the presence of the Father knowing that that's the reason Jesus died on the cross. Because if I don't come in, I mean, that is why Jesus died. So that we could be forgiven, so that we could live in relationship every day with the Father God. But the enemy works so hard to throw this away and make it all about me. I have to do it right every time. I have to make sure that I say everything. And listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't live trying to do things right. We should. But I'm just telling you that we are humans, and it's going to happen that we're going to miss it. And then number two, We are humans, and as adults, we have to retrain ourselves to make it about us looking at him instead of us striving. Because I've said this before, but all of our lives, we train our children, and rightfully so, we train our children to be independent. We teach them that when they're old enough that they can move out, they can live, you know, and be independent. That's the goal. So then we become Christians. And we are to be converted and become again as little children. It's a struggle because we've spent our whole adult life learning how to be adults and learning that it's my responsibility and it's my job and all of that is true. But things many times are reversed in the Christian life. And in the Christian life, we are to come as little children, recognizing that we need him. And that you can do that no matter how long you've been a Christian. There's an old song that my mom mentioned to me when we were talking about this the other day. There's an old song called Warrior as a Child. And it says, they don't know. I'm going to cry now, but you know, that happens every week, so whatever. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. Drop my sword and cry for just a while. Because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. We are called to be warriors. God has spoken to me about that, to me personally and to us as a church. But inside the armor, I am first and foremost his child. And when I am overwhelmed, I can say to him, God, I am overwhelmed. And I don't know how to lead people into new things. I don't know how to fight battles. But God, you said that you would lead me in paths of righteousness for your namesake. You said that if I lacked anything, that I could come to you. You said that if I was anxious and overwhelmed, that I didn't have to be anxious for anything, that I could present my request with thanksgiving. So when I remember, God, first and foremost, I am your child. And you see it all throughout the Psalms. David got this. He understood it. You see all throughout the Psalms, he would say, God, I am overwhelmed. And I don't understand. You know, children are not afraid to be honest, sometimes painfully honest. You're like, could you not say that around other people, please? Like, that's embarrassing. You know, I mean, we don't have to be afraid to be honest with God. David sometimes said things that I'm thinking, I cannot believe that he said that. And it's written in the Psalms, but it is. He would say things to God like, why do the wicked prosper? Like, why does it look like they're just getting away with everything and I'm over here struggling? We can be honest with God. We can recognize that he loves us. But if, put that picture up again, Joe, please. If you will come to God, picturing him loving you, rather than, man, so many of us Christians, we spend a good part of our Christian life feeling like God is disappointed and mad at us. That is exhausting, okay? It's exhausting to feel like you're disappointing someone all the time. I am worthy to come into the presence of an almighty God because of this. Because of Jesus' love that covers me. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. And when you do things that you do out of an understanding of who you are and the fact that God loves you, then you're not afraid to say, okay, Jesus, let's do this together. I can't do it by myself, but if you're going with me, then we can do it. And it gives you a whole new level of confidence. I speak from personal experience because as I do this and I come into the presence of God, and I say to God, God, I know that you love me because your word says that you love me. Not because I feel it. Because listen, retraining your feelings and your mind is a process. Just because you know that the Bible says that God is love and that God loves you doesn't mean that your feelings are going to tell you every time that God loves you, especially when you miss it. But that is why, if you put, Joe, will you put up Hebrews 4, verse 15? I didn't have this in my notes. But the Bible explains to us that even when we've missed it, and I keep going here because I don't know about you, but I miss it every day. I mean, sometimes I wake up and I've already woken up late, and already I'm like, I already missed it. I don't have as much time to spend with the Lord as I wanted to. And if you start your day and live every day like that, again, it's exhausting. And you go, I just can't. I can't do this Christian life. I can't live like these people. I can't walk in victory. And you can't win battles if you're so focused on your problems all the time. But the enemy will keep you busy looking at your weaknesses all day, every day. How bad you've missed it, and how much you can't do, and how many things you've already mucked up. Listen, if you have messed things up, admit it. The Bible says confess your sins. Admit it to God. But then move on. You can't change where you've been. You can only start from where you are. That's why the enemy works so hard to not only destroy our past, but destroy our future. By every day just beating us up. The scripture says we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And verse 16 says, so come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As we understand the grace and the love and the compassion and the mercy of God, then we can be honest about the areas where we're missing it, and we can see change happen in our lives. But not only that, we can go forward in victory because we start to realize, wait a minute, this God that created the universe wanted to have a relationship with me. And he wants me to make it. I tell people all the time, God wants you to make it. He's not hoping that you'll fail. So he can say, yeah, I didn't think they were going to make it anyway. I knew it. That is not how God looks at us. Every time somebody falls away, God's heart grieves. And every time a prodigal comes back, he rejoices. So if we can just get a picture of who he is and of what he has to say to us, if we can understand again, the next time that you come to ask God for grace or to ask God for forgiveness, just picture yourself completely covered in the blood of Jesus. It requires humility because it requires not coming in all of my strengths and my crowns and the things that I have accomplished, but in coming based on what Jesus did. But that's how we're supposed to live the Christian life consistently, is Jesus, this thing is about you. And if we come as little children, we recognize that we need him all day, every day. And that is a positive thing when we begin to recognize that. The more that we become dependent on him. For this message today, I had studied and I had tried, and it was like, I have learned if God doesn't breathe on it, I mean, I can give you a speech, but the truth is, speeches can be very boring, and I'm not interested in doing that. And so I said to God, God, I don't know what to say if you don't breathe on it. We can do that all throughout life. If you know you need to be a witness to a coworker or to somebody at school, you can say, God, I don't know what to say unless you lead me. But God, I am here and I am willing and I will go with you and I will do what you're calling me to do because you love me and I will walk in your love and I will walk in your power because of what Jesus did. And so I'm just going to ask you as we get ready to close, let me see if there's anything else I need to share. I have a bunch of other scriptures, but we're not going to cover all those, and that's okay. Romans 5 starts with understanding tribulation, but it ends in verse, well, that section. I want to end that section talking about verse 5. It says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. As we begin to walk with God, I have had moments where it's literally like God just poured his compassion into me. And I began to feel what somebody else was feeling and have such a burden for their situation. That's because God did that in that moment. That's because but this scripture is true all the time. And the more that we begin to train our minds to believe the word of God above what we feel and see, the more of God's power we can walk in, because the more true we recognize that his word is. So often we choose to believe our feelings over what the word of God says. Renewing our mind, like Thomas talked about in Sunday school in Romans 12:2, renewing our mind is about retraining my mind to choose to believe what the word of God says is true above what I feel and see. And the more that I do that, the more power I'll be able to walk in, because his word is always true. And the more that I understand that, the more that I can walk in the promises that are in here. Because when I don't feel love for somebody and I know that I should love them, I can say, God, your word says that your love is poured out in my heart. So God, show me how to love this person. Show me what that looks like. Because we know love looks different. Sometimes love looks like being honest with somebody and helping them step up. Sometimes love means mercy and compassion. Sometimes love means exhorting somebody and helping them become who God has called them to be. All of that comes from relationship with him. So as Joe plays this song, I just want to ask you, first and foremost, we will be up here to pray for you if you want prayer. And the altars are open if you want to make an altar at your seat. But above all, I really feel as this song plays, just ask God to give you a revelation of his love. Even if you think you already know about God's love, I promise you there is more. There is more revelation than any of us have ever, like, we will never get to the end of who God is. So just as this song plays, just say, God, would you just teach me about your love? And would you open my heart so that I can recognize it, so that I can receive it? And then understand, this is not the end, this is the beginning. This is God, the beginning, the process of teaching you new things. And as you open your heart and allow him to train you and teach you, and as you come as a child, he will continue to teach you about his truth and about who he is.